Welcome to Social Media Know-How, the podcast featuring the greatest minds and brands in the world of social and digital marketing. And now, your host, founder and CEO of Link Humans, Jorgen Sundberg.
Hey, Sons, Vaisan, how's it going? Many thanks for tuning in to Social Media Know-How, the Link Humans podcast, serving up social media and know-how in equal measures so everybody is a winner. I'm your host, Jorgen Sundberg, and this podcast is here to help you improve your social as well as your digital marketing prowess. Coming to you live from London, well, we're recording live. You may be listening at a later date. It is the first full week of April, and did you fall for any good April Fool's tricks? I would have loved to try the mic drop feature in Gmail myself. There wasn't enough time. They dropped the whole feature before I got a chance to do that. I guess another way of doing it is to click the spam button, just not as fun. Right, so we're in the process of looking for a new office. We were out scouting locations today. Definitely staying in North London, so stay tuned for where we end up. We'll throw a nice big bash, big party. And of course, all you podcast listeners are invited. I'd love to see you there. More on that as it happens. Stay tuned. Now, question. How do you know what social media updates you should be doing? Another question. How do you know how the audience responds to your updates? Answer. By looking at the investigative analytics, of course, which is what we'll discuss with David Brudenell of Universum today. And I'll let him explain more about that in a bit. Now, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. I'm happy to announce the winner of our review competition. So, big congratulations to Adam Zidot. You can expect a bottle of champagne to arrive soon. And Adam is based in California on the west coast of the US. So thank you very much for listening to us all the way over there. And of course, if you feel like it, Adam, feel free to tweet us a picture using the SM Know-How hashtag, perhaps when you're opening that bottle of champagne. Well done. So, right, the competition is over, but you are still very welcome to rate us or review us in iTunes. Of course, all feedback is most welcome, honest, and honest feedback is very useful for us. And as always, feel free to ping me an email if you have anything, questions or recommendations for me. I'm reachable at jorgen@linkhumans.com. Okay, right, just before we roll the interview, it's time for our little tip of the week. Right, so here's the situation. You're doing email marketing because you've been told that it's a high converting way of doing digital marketing, and you're right. However, your emails are not getting opened and they're not getting clicked enough. So you might be using a free email marketing tool such as MailChimp or similar. This can be a good solution, but I think if you're serious about email marketing, then I think you're going to have to think a bit more premium, because a lot of email marketing emails, campaigns or messages, they tend to end up in spam folders. So a solution to this is to change your email solution provider. And I would say go for a premium supplier. We here at Link Humans, we've recently changed to Constant Contact, and we're very happy to report that their deliverability is a lot higher than we changed from MailChimp, by the way, and which means we're actually being open, we're being delivered to a lot more inboxes. And sure, it's painful at first to change systems over, but you soon settle in with your new dashboard, your editor and your reports and so on. And we've seen lots more opens, lots more clicks. Well, I say lots, but you know, we're talking about a significant increase, and that's across all our lists, and we have over 50,000 subscribers. So for us, it's made a huge difference. So check it out at constantcontact.com. I'll put a link to it in the write-up, of course. Constant Contact is one provider. I think AWeber is another good one. And there are a few other ones on there. So you get what you pay for in the world of email marketing, basically. Right, so with that, it's time to transition. I'm going to patch in Australia via Canada in this week's interview with David Brudenell. David Brudenell, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Jorgen.
Great. Tell us about Universum and what you do there.
Universum's a employer branding research company, and we've been around for 27 years now.
Wow.
And what we do is, we run the world's largest talent preference survey, where we talk to everyone from high school students all the way through to professionals, and we ask them who they want to work for, why, and we use a very key 40 attribute framework that we've been using for the past 25 years to be able to compare and contrast the preferences and why talent chooses one employer over the other. And what we do with this data is we release our what we call our rankings across the globe for the most attractive employers, and then we use that data to help employers, what I like to say is, be more sexy to talent, to really understand what motivates talent and how to, you know, how to get their attention, and more importantly, how to keep it. And you're in my role at Universum. I have a pretty cool job. I lead two practice areas in the business. I'm responsible for new product development and the engineering functions of the business. So I like to sit with one foot into the future, where there's hoverboards and time machines and all kinds of great stuff there. And the other part of my role is to focus on what we call the activation part of our business. So with many of our customers, they go through the data journey and insight journey with us and are quite inspired at what they're able to find. But the next logical step is, well, how do I communicate that? And the teams and great people that I lead help bring that insight to life, give it color, give it a voice. And a principle that we have in our organization is that we take the content and we make it data-led, human, and purposeful. So I can keep myself busy, and it's pretty fun these days.
Excellent. And so you guys have just released, well, by the time this podcast is published, you will have released this report called Inside Social Media. Could you tell us what the methodology was behind it and just some of the top line findings?
Yeah, sure. It's been an exciting journey, actually, putting together this report. You know, we've seen from our customers an incredible amount of demand for insight and understanding what's going on from social media. So this report was really generated by the interest of our customers. And really what it's contained is a kind of combination of what we've seen in our researchers gone out into the world and pulled in from third-party research, tried to pull that together through the lens of the employer brand industry, and also some snapshots into one of the new social media listening tools that we employ here at Universum called Iris, which is really talent's perspective of social media. So it's really a unique view on what are the mega trends happening in the social media world, what to look out for, and how to get invested in it and how to get started. Because what we're finding is many of our customers are very new to social media. So they're very curious about how to really do the first kind of 3 to 6 steps really right, so that they can be present and be meaningful. And then finally is, you know, once they are started, is just to figure out what metrics matter, because there's a lot of metrics out there with digital, and it's quite easily to get bamboozled by everything out there. So, you know, we really thought it was our opportunity to look across the measurement area and provide some key guidance for those employer brands out there.
Great. And I'll give you a bonus point for the use of the word bamboozled. Right. So if we look at this report, it's divided into a number of sections. And the first one talks about, the headline is, because of multitasking, we now have 31 hours in a day. How does that work out?
Yeah, it's crazy. Even more time than on Mars. So what's happening, Jorgen, is it's because of the proliferation of devices. We now, I'll be testament to this, I have an iPhone sitting on my desk. I have two screens that I'm looking at. I have Amazon Kindle. I have an iPad. I have an Apple TV. We have all these devices in our world that are becoming more and more omnipresent for us. So what's happening is that consumers and vis-a-vis talent are more often using both of these devices simultaneously. So because of multitasking, we're able to increase the number of hours that we have in any one day.
Right. Okay. And if we look at all this time, how is it spent? It says in this report that this time is spent on relatively few sites. Please elaborate.
Yeah. Well, what's really interesting is, you know, as humans, we're makers of behavior. So we follow the same patterns again and again. We may all like to think that we're unique, but in reality, when you start to look at us en masse, where we have very similar behaviors. So what's happening is that even though we are spending much more time on social media, on and consumer and tech activity, in actuality, of that 31 hours a day, 11 hours is spent on media consumption and consumer tech activity, more so than work, sleep, and housekeeping or non-work activities. But what's happening is that even though we're spending all this time, this 11 hours a day, it's being spent on relatively few sites and few apps. And what we discovered, and this was actually analysis presented at the Wall Street Digital Conference late last year, is that when we think about our mobile phone, many people think about the proliferation of apps on your mobile phone. You have screens and screens and screens of apps. But in actuality, the average user uses 27 of them. It's 27 of them per month, but 80% of the time per month is only spent on five. So, we're a glutton for those apps which we love most. And the same thing goes for websites. Although there are billions of websites out there, in actuality, we spend about just under 50% of our time on the same five websites, which we go to again and again. So what this means for employers, Jorgen, is that we know where people are going. We know where talent are going, but everyone else knows. So it's going to become incredibly competitive in those five apps and in those five websites to be able to have meaningful content to get cut through and to actually make an impact on, in the case of our conversation, employer brands, to make your employer brand, resonate and be remembered by talent.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, so let's have a look at some of these platforms. The report mentions that Facebook still rules this social ecosystem, which I probably agree with. But can you describe the different platforms and differences in use? So Facebook versus LinkedIn versus Instagram and versus even Weibo?
Sure. I like to, at Universal, we use all these platforms when we're doing activation, but I like to simplify them down into really the, if we made the employer brand an individual. So if they were just another human out there playing around on social media, is for me, Facebook is who we are as an employer brand. LinkedIn is what we do. Twitter is what we say. And Instagram is what we want other people to believe we look like and how trendy we are. Weibo and some of the other country-specific platforms would follow those same areas. But I think from an employer branding perspective, Facebook is still the 800-pound gorilla out there. And an amazing stat that came through from Nielsen just earlier this year is that with Facebook's acquisitions over the past 24 months, 1 in 3 minutes spent on a mobile phone is spent on a Facebook property. So that's Facebook, Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp, which they purchased for $16 billion last year. So 1 in 3 minutes on a mobile phone really makes those purchases by Facebook seem like quite a deal that Mr. Zuckerberg bought. For LinkedIn, really for employer brands, this is about showcasing your business. And it's, when we look at things from Universum, we apply our learning and our activation down this, what we call the talent funnel. And really what we believe at Universum is LinkedIn is very much for the initial education, kind of the corporate education of the company that I'm considering working for. And, as talent goes through the journey, their knowledge journey and goes through the acquisition funnel, we're seeing LinkedIn as becoming increasingly a place to go to apply for jobs. So LinkedIn's making very, very good strides in competing with Indeed, Monster.com, and some of the kind of mega job boards out there. And I think that's just because they offer a more robust content play than simply a job post on a job board. With Instagram, they opened up their advertising engine in the summer of last year, the North American summer. And what's really interesting about Instagram is that it's about curation, less is more, and really about showcasing the visual aspects of the employer brand. So, we're seeing with our customers, and we see through some of the measurement that we have, really amazing results with Instagram. It's really cutting through some of the broadcast social media hangups that Facebook and LinkedIn have. Because Instagram is quite interesting. It's not broadcast social media, like I said, like Facebook or LinkedIn, but it's not narrowcast like Snapchat and, I would argue some of the messaging services out there. So it's a really interesting one to watch. And when we look at Weibo and some of the more country-specific, there's obviously some in Germany as well and even some in Brazil who offer that kind of micro-blogging service. It's, China is an interesting marketplace, and I don't think any of the companies or social media platforms that I mentioned before have actually really, really cracked it. So those companies which are born out of Asia, like Weibo and also WeChat, are really doing really great. So at the end of the day, talent use these platforms to communicate in a bi-directional way with employer brands. But we're seeing the types and the usage of these platforms vary, vary quite differently.
Yeah, I mean, someone told me on this podcast actually that so LinkedIn is the only Western social network that's not bad in China, and that's because it's not fun enough, apparently.
Yeah, I guess, and it's there, but it's not there in a meaningful way. There's just a small sliver of the talent marketplace which is really on LinkedIn. They're making great strides. Who could be wrong?
Yeah.
But it's very early days for LinkedIn in China.
And so the report also mentions, don't forget the upstarts. And in that, we mentioned, I think, WeChat and Snapchat. What's happening there?
Yeah, what's typically classified as narrowcast social media. So, Snapchat's all about sending private snaps to selected individuals that self-destruct. Well, let's hope they all self-destruct for the young generation. And WeChat and Instagram, WeChat and Messenger are the typical messaging apps. I think what's really interesting about this is that it is this concept of narrowcast media. So it's about talent in this case, in the kind of the construct of this conversation, selecting a few employers to have more deeper conversations with. Now, that's a really interesting concept because, an employer brand has to go quite a long way to earn the trust of a private conversation. That either means that they're far down the acquisition funnel and they're, the talent whom they're speaking to is really, really invested, or that they've done something great from their awareness perspective or kind of the desire of the employer brand that they're getting these people in at the very top of the funnel and are able to then move them quickly through to the bottom. So I think, messaging looks to be faster growing than even social media. So, I think in half the time that Facebook did, WhatsApp reached 1 billion active users. So there's a really land rush happening when it comes to talent getting onto these platforms. And I think, if I was to pick a winner out of Snapchat or some of the messaging services, I would certainly pick the messaging services. I think that the behemoths that own them, Facebook and WeChat and Sina and Baidu and those companies, are able to, and Facebook did this very successfully, shift almost their entire social media user base across these messaging platforms. So I think that for me, messaging is going to be the next big thing.
Yeah, and I think Snapchat, they're definitely doing a lot of innovation, which now Facebook are taking after some of their new features. And also Messenger, so Facebook Messenger, I mean, they recently announced that you can advertise inside Messenger. And for customer services, it seems to be really useful. So if you have, I think in some cases you can order, so e-commerce, you can order from, let's say, Amazon, order a product inside Messenger. And if the delivery is late, you do all your communication with Amazon inside Messenger. So I think is really going to take off. Mm. Right. So what's the intention gap?
So this is a universum coin term, I think, Jürgen, in this report. And what's really interesting that's coming out of this and why we created this concept of the intention gap is that when we started to look at social media content and lots of it, in actuality, we looked at over 1 million social media posts from thousands of employers, we saw that there's this big gap between what an employer brand thinks they're communicating with what talent actually thinks that they're talking about. And we're seeing this gap increasing over time. And one of the things that we do with Iris, which is a social media listening tool that we have, we actually get talent to look at those posts from employer brands. And we use the same framework, that 40 attribute framework that we have at Universum, to allow talent to choose which one or more of those 40 attributes they believe that employer in that post is trying to communicate. And what we're seeing is that an employer may go out wanting to talk about corporate social responsibility in their content, but what happens is that when it hits talent, and talent has those few seconds, right, in their very busy news feeds to look at that content, what they tell us that employer is talking about could be something very different. It could be about challenging work, or it could be about an inspiring management. So what we're seeing is a increasing gap between what employers think they're talking about with what talent actually thinks that they're communicating.
Yeah, and that's really interesting, because a lot of companies, big brands, employer brands, they have their agendas. I don't know, it could be equality or sustainability and so on, and they think they're talking about it. But if candidates and applicants think they're talking about something else, then there's no point in doing those updates, is it?
Yeah, and I think too, Jorgen, it's because, you know, social media is not about a one-hit wonder. It's not where big Super Bowl-style, you know, campaigns win. It's about small, snackable, and continuous content, right? So, you know, to win on social media, it's not about one post. It's about, you know, the 100 or 200 posts that you're putting out across the year, and hoping that you're curating, one, the right talent who are looking at it, and they're looking at it and engaging with it on a fairly regular basis. So I think that's where, you know, and there's a lot of gray in social media. It's very noisy. And, you know, what we're seeing at Universal over the past 10 years or so is further fragmentation of, you know, what talent, the reasons why talent choose to be a part of the employer. You know, we didn't always have 40 attributes that we used to measure. There were fewer when we first started. And new things like work-life balance didn't exist 7 or 8 years ago as something that's important to talent. But, you know, as our research says, over the past couple of years, it is, if not the, it is one of the most important attributes for talent when choosing an employer.
Well, that's interesting, because some people would say that there is no work-life balance anymore, because we're always available. I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't feel I have much of a balance.
Well, I think that we may take this conversation to a whole other corner, Jorgen, if we continue on that. But what I can tell you is that you know, as we look at our attributes, our 40 attributes, we take quite a serious look at them every single year, because, you know, they form the backbone of this normative data set that we have that we've been measuring for so long. Is that work-life balance is we're seeing further fragmentation of work-life balance into smaller components. And what you just mentioned there is a good indicator of that. It's today for talent, I think, even a little bit too broad. So we're going to go a little bit deeper. And perhaps next year, if we speak again, Jorgen, there may be 43 or 44 attributes as opposed to 40.
Gosh, well, you know, you should do a spring clean as well. You might want to remove some of the older ones, attributes I've been around. Right. And it also mentions in this report that great brands outpace good brands. What does that mean? And have you got any examples?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned before, you know, to win on social media, it's all about continuity. And it's about being there, being present on a regular basis, and building on the back of the content that you released yesterday or the day before. Now, what's happening, if we take a step back and we look at these social media platforms, their main function for users is to provide relevant content to us. Because, Jorgen, if you went into your Facebook feed today and the first 200 posts were ads, you probably wouldn't stick around in Facebook very long. So it's in Facebook's best best intentions to be able to give you the most relevant content. Now, Facebook knows you much better than I, and it knows where you've been. It knows what you've looked at, what posts you've engaged with what friends you have engaged with, and so on and so forth. And Facebook is trying to balance this with their, you know, being a public company and their obligations to shareholders. So what they do is they invest into more and more sophisticated algorithms to be able to make sure that you're getting the most relevant content. But Facebook's a true network. They have their graph, right? Their social graph. So there are people who look like you, and Facebook is going to use your data and everyone else's, all 1 billion daily users in Facebook, to be able to fine tune that algorithm. So what that means is that if you're present as an employer brand, you're continually putting up content, you're going to be rewarded by growing your organic reach, because the right people are actually interacting with your content. And secondly, is that those employer brands who are active on social media platforms, and, you know, I gave that example of Facebook before, but it's applicable to all the social media platforms. They all have algorithms, and they're all trying to get relevant content to their users. Is that those employers who are active, and they've realized that social media is not something you can just chuck an intern at and to post about random stuff, that there is sophistication that goes behind it, they start to look at the economics of it. And there are really fantastic examples of employers who are turning these social media platforms into massive recruitment funnels into their business, where they can go out and spend a few hundred pounds or a few hundred dollars and get quite tremendous returns on the back of it. So what we're seeing is that, you know, I wrote an internal memo to our members at Universum in our membership, and it was titled, you know, the great are outpacing the good. And what I meant by that is that it's those companies who have got into social media early, who are continually posting and are starting to experimenting with sponsored advertising. They are getting between 100 and, in some instances, we saw 10,000 times higher engagement than the average. So now the average is being pulled down a bit, Jorgen, because there is a land rush into social media now by employers. Yeah. You know, everyone and their dog is getting into it. So that's pulling down the average or keeping it relatively flat because you have so many kind of new entrants who are kind of at amateur level and they're leveling up. Is that what we're seeing is there's a few brands out there who are, you know, up in the stratosphere with engagement, and they're capturing the majority of the share of voice.
Yes.
Again, this is everybody, right? All talent. But you know, we don't have the ability today to look into subsets of talent. But I would imagine that some of those employers on social media are actually capturing the lion's share of specific types of talent, like, you know, IT talent or, you know, people studying sales and marketing and things like that.
Yeah. So what brands were the top performers in 2015? I think you mentioned both top performers on LinkedIn and Facebook in this report.
Yeah. There's a number of them. Kind of the regular players are up there. Probably the company who works well across the most, who's the most consistent across channels, we're seeing L'Oreal and Unilever, who are sitting up there at the top. Some of the Unilever's programs, their Future Leaders League programs that they run in multiple countries, have been really fantastically executed across social media channels. And, you know, we can see some in the reports, some amazing results in the case studies that they've been graciously allowed us to publish. And also we see kind of non-traditional social media style employer brands like ExxonMobil really get into social media in a fast and meaningful way, and really on a weighted basis, but they're getting quite fantastic returns. You know, they're being able to get enormous engagement returns. And what's really interesting about ExxonMobil is the participation rate on their posts. They're getting hundreds of what looks like engineers commenting, participating, asking questions, and it really feels like, you know, what one would assume as being a very reluctant company to get on social media. Yeah. ExxonMobil has really embraced it and really winning in this case. And then you have other companies like IBM really taking, you know, allowing talent to really see what it's like to work inside IBM. They've done really amazing things, such as kind of socially optimized videos. They use integrated social media very well: Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and they integrate their channels very well. And I think that's really giving their content a lot of pop at the beginning. You know, because, you know, one of the great things about social media, it's the viral kind of opportunity that it presents. I think IBM is really using that in a meaningful way. And then, you know, maybe a local call out would be PwC in Brazil. Brazil is one of the most, we see as the most competitive marketplaces when it comes to social media. You know, there's a great article, I think it was written by, published by Forbes, which said, you know, the internet was born in Brazil. So we're seeing, you know, the Brazilian population, because of a whole bunch of different factors, socioeconomic, economic, that they went straight from no internet to mobile internet. And, you know, everybody and their dog in Brazil has a mobile phone and participates on social media. So we're seeing some really progressive stuff coming out of Brazil, and especially out of PwC. One of their campaigns on Instagram was just human, authentic, and fantastic.
Great. And do they still use Orkut in Brazil? Do you know?
Pardon me?
Orkut. Do you remember the Google social network?
I do. Yeah. It's up there with Friendster. Yeah. And the other ones there. It's still present. But I think it's very much losing. It's a losing battle. The amount of time that the average Brazilian is spending on Facebook and Instagram doesn't leave much room for those secondary social media sites.
So we had a Brazilian colleague a couple of years back, and she said that everyone was using Orkut in Brazil until the film The Social Network came out, and that's when everyone realized what Facebook could do, and then they all switched. So that's what happened. Right, so top data-driven recommendations for social recruiting in 2016. There are plenty of recommendations in this report. What are some of the strongest ones?
Yeah, well, I think we probably need to start with table stakes, right? And, you know, the first thing is make sure you have your employer value proposition or your EVP. If you don't have to really, hold you to the shore, you'll drift off into these seas of content in social media. And I think that one for me is probably is the most important, is to make sure that you have an EDP that is true, it's credible, it works inside, it works outside, and that you can really hook onto and keep you grounded or close to shore, as to continue my analogy. The second thing is to really appreciate that, the old saying is, horses for courses, and to make sure that the way that talent interact with a platform like LinkedIn, the reasons why they go to LinkedIn are very, very different than the reasons that they would go and participate with an employer brand on Facebook. So, it's not about one piece of content, just cross post. Is that what we're seeing is that is kind of the first sign of, an early or entry level employer brand on social media. They take one post. Usually that content has come from marketing or corporate relations that's been approved by legal, and they can get it up quickly. And what they do is they just post across all channels. But that just gets lost in the torrent of content. To quote Facebook, is brands and employer brands want to create thumb stoppers. So it's those pieces of content as you're whipping through with your thumb on your mobile phone. And let's not forget, the majority of social media content is consumed by a mobile, more than almost 75%, right? So it's about creating thumb stoppers. So what we're seeing is a big change in the traditional linear process of ideation and content development. So the old way is very linear, right? Have your agency come in, pitch a humongous idea that costs a bundle of money, substantiate that with some user research, spend a bunch of money on design and things like that, and then push it out, right? And then repeat. But with a more agile process or an agile employer branding content production, what you're doing is you're using micro strategies. So start small, know that you don't have the answers, but you have a solid EVP, push it out really quickly. And I'm talking about anywhere as small as 5 days cycle to 1 month, and then iterate on the back of it. So I think that allows you to not be beholden, Jorgen, to any one platform, but rather choose the platform for the outcome that you want to achieve during that period. And we all know with employer brands and, for recruitment marketing, there are, cyclical ups and downs, valleys and peaks throughout the year, right? And there's different stakeholders that within the organization that you have to serve. So let's not try and jam all of those requests into one big campaign, but rather just get them in when they need it. And again, finish it off is that in my recommendations is to make sure that when you are producing content, to make sure that it is data led, meaning that it is founded on the data. It doesn't matter where it comes from, but just start to use it, because if you don't have it, you're good as guessing. The second thing is human. So make sure that your content is about the employees within the organization. On social media, these people go to these platforms to socialize, right? It's about people connecting to people. It's not about people connecting to brands and things like that. So you need to appreciate that. And our data suggests that more than 80% of talent, when they connect to an employer brand on a social media platform, do so to see what it's like to work inside a company. So that means they want to see what it's like for you and me as we work in our companies. And finally, purposeful. Don't just put up content for the sake of putting up content. It's not going to be seen if it doesn't have a purpose. And going back to the recognizing why social media platforms are there for socializing, is that if you have achieved the luxury of having a talent connect to you or give you the endorsement or the permission to go into their newsfeed, then let's talk to them. Give your post purpose. Ask questions. Challenge them. You know, ask them questions. And I think what we see in our results with our customers is that, not surprisingly, when you start to socialize as an employer brand, the audience socializes back with you.
Yeah, I hope so. And so these are the recommendations. So that's what we should be doing in 2016 based on your research. Where do companies get it wrong? What's some of the patterns you see over and over again?
Yeah, well, there's two that really stick out. One is turning into an auto-posting robot.
Yeah.
We see lots of that. Yeah, I think when a corporation starts their social media journey, they see all the platforms and they go, "How am I supposed to get all of these content across all of these?" And they go to, you know, centralized posting tools like Percolate or Hootsuite and stuff like that, and they go, "My problems are solved because now I can push up one piece of content across all of these platforms, and better yet, because I need to put up content all the time, I'm going to auto-populate my Twitter feed with the job posts that are coming from my ATS system." And that's one of the worst things that you can do. I've seen Twitter feeds that are nothing but just job posts, like, boring, pardon my French, but boring is batshit, as the saying goes, is that who would ever want to participate in a Twitter feed that where 99% of the job posts are not relevant to talent? So that's the first thing. Don't go on auto-post or robot mode. And the second thing is, you know, what we're seeing in our data is that, you know, it's really noisy. Every employer brand and their dog wants to talk about how awesome their products and services are, you know, according to talent. And I think, though, as an employer brands are rushing to social media, I mentioned this earlier, that they're really kind of being a bit paralyzed by where they're going to get content. And, you know, employer branding function in many organizations is still new and growing. So I'd imagine they don't have limitless budgets or even comparable budgets to marketing department. So they have to make some really critical decisions. So what they do naturally is, instead of going out and, you know, using very much user-generated content, going around with their mobile phone, video, you know, recording people, asking them questions, putting really authentic content, is what they're doing is they're going to their current repositories. They're going to marketing, they're going to corporate relations, and they're just taking that content, you know, that really eye stocky, boring corporate relations photo with, you know, some guy in a hard hat with earplugs, you know, fixing some sort of oil well, and, you know, putting that up for talent and expecting that highly staged photo and link to a direct career site, just the front page of the career site, is going to be meaningful for talent. So I think too that, you know, it's about thinking a bit before you go out and having, like a, you know, like we talked about in the top recommendations, is having an EVP, which will drive your content strategy.
Yeah, so having that strategy to begin with. Right, and what's the ROI? What's the return on investment on doing all these updates on social and so on? You mentioned earlier that, you know, you put out loads of content and, well, yeah, a program of content, and we're putting hooks out and we're hoping that people will bite. But how do we measure this, and how do we know exactly what platforms people have applied from, and how do we then know that these people are good employees versus employees that leave quickly and so on? So that's a long question.
It is a long question, and which I don't have all the answers for, but I can certainly, and I just don't believe that the industry is at a place, and I'll answer the last part of your question first, which is how you can know the quality of those employees. We have yet to see a link between a meaningful link between what goes into ATS systems and then ongoing employee management and qualification. I think we're close. You know, we're going through a big ATS refresh cycle now that was delayed a few years because of the GFC, or in America, the Great Recession. So I think that we're coming into that as ATSs are more cloud-based, and, you know, search isn't the last cool function that most people have in their ATSs. They're getting other cool stuff now. So I don't know if that's possible. But certainly in the ROI, if you're getting into social media, all of the social media sites have very easy and manageable ways to track, you know, the click-throughs coming from the sites. All of these platforms have very deep demographic and preference data on the traffic that's engaging with your posts. And, you know, you can spend money And you can quantify the organic content that you're creating with dollars and cents. And you can also invest in, when you do invest in sponsored advertising, that's also very quantifiable.
Yes.
So what's, I think, really sexy about these social media programs are that they're that you can link them all the way up to that ETS system. And perhaps in the next 18 to 24 months, we'll go beyond to, you know, employee performance and things like that. But I think the ROI can be very clearly measured. I mean, what we're doing with some of our customers is, you know, we begin small with a pilot because it kind of still exists in the in the employer branding sphere, right? And you know, I believe that many people in HR and recruitment marketing are able to communicate the value of having a good employer brand and what that means to the volume of talent coming into the business or interacting with the with that employer brand. But also we're seeing, you know, once you have a social program up and running, now that can be multi-channels or omni-channel, multi-channel, single channel, it doesn't really matter. But because you're able to quantify it, we are seeing some employers now shift some of the recruitment dollars into social media. So there is a way to look at your cost per hire and to put social media in that consideration set. So I think, you know, we're getting very close and there are some of the top employer brands that I mentioned today who are certainly looking at the cost per hire and looking at social media as a viable channel for that. But again, you know, to measure your everyday success, you want to look to, you know, the most common type of measurement is engagement, which is a combination of not only on Facebook, it's likes and shares and comments. On LinkedIn, it's, you know, shares, comments, and likes as well. Is that it's a combination of these because, you know, according to Facebook, and this came from their blog in the North American summer last year, so they said that likes don't matter anymore. It's about really how their algorithm picks up value is when people are commenting, when they're sharing your content, and when they're viewing your videos that you're putting up and things like that.
Wow, that's controversial. Likes don't matter anymore. Well. Wow.
That's straight from Facebook, yeah.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, okay. So what's some of the best tech apps and tools out there for employer branding, recruitment marketing on social media? And I believe you might have a technology yourselves you might want to mention.
Yeah, here's the plug. Well, I think before I start with Iris, I think the first thing is that there's many, many tools out there. You know, when we were doing our research, when we were going to be building Iris, you know, we discovered that there's well over 250 social media listening tools. So there's a lot out there. And it really depends on where you are as an employer brand and getting started. I mentioned Hootsuite as, you know, one of those tools, a cautionary tale about Hootsuite, but a cautionary tale about where you can centralize and see all of the metrics coming into your social feed. That's a great tool. And there's a number of kind of Hootsuite competitors that are out there. HubSpot, Percolate, those are other content publishing tools that go beyond just social media, but are a great way to really bake in solid workflows into your business. So if you work with agencies or you work with multiple internal stakeholders, you're able to then, you know, go through in an online tool as opposed to flinging emails back and forth with pictures and text all over the place. And they also have content calendars in it. So they help you visualize when you should be publishing that content. In some cases, they help you automate that in a good way, you know, in the authentic automation way, not the robo automation way. And, you know, when we took a look at all of these tools out there, there are many that are great, but what we discovered is that much of these have been built for marketers and not HR. And so with, you know, we saw that we had three key opportunities at Universum. One is we had this framework that when we know that if an employer focuses and uses the data that we provide, they become more sexy and more talent go to their, you know, want to work for them. The second thing is, you know, at Universum, we touch, and with our surveys, we have, you know, well over 1.5 million talent every single year interact with us. So we had this huge platform of real people and real talent who were volunteering and participating in giving us data. And the third thing, and this is the new technology that we're bringing into Universum as we kind of transform into a technology company, is that you know, we're really allowed to put this together with some cool tech. And, you know, that's really what Iris separates itself from the other social media listening tools. It does a lot of the same things, but what separates Iris from the rest is that it's a human powered content coding engine. So actual talent are looking at the posts from employer brands every single day, and they're using the same framework that we use for our research that's been running for 25 years. So we're able to see the macro trends with our research, or we're able to zoom in at the micro moments for talent, because you know what we learned in social media, it's a daily battle. You know, it's truly a marathon, it's not a sprint. So being able to look at your competitors to see what they're talking about and to see if it's effective, right? If it's resonating with talent, you know, you can, you know, if you have an EVP, you typically have between 2 and 5 core attributes that you want to focus on. But your number one attribute may not be the best one to choose for today or this week. It may be number 5. And that's what we're seeing in the results with our customers who are using with Iris, is that it allows them to kind of strategically look at what's going on from a content perspective across platforms, but then operationally zoom in and from a daily basis, go in and see what's great. And you know, we have a 1.2 million social media post case study library that you can searchable by attribute and country and industry and particular company.
Yeah, and I should add as well that we have tested Iris here at Link Humans. We've done it for a client, and we got some really interesting results. And looking at updates from last year, and also versus some of their talent competitors and also industry competitors. So really, really useful takeaways, which you can then use to formulate your strategy for the next quarter or the next year or whatever. And yeah, it's a unique tool, I think, at the moment at least.
Cool, thank you.
Right, if we look at, you've already mentioned a few brands which are doing really good things on employer branding, but more in general, what are maybe up to 3 brands that inspire you yourself on social and digital?
Yeah, well, I think I'm gonna throw in a couple that may not be typically viewed as brands. The first one is certainly Adidas. I think Adidas does some very, very cool stuff for an employer brand, but also as a consumer brand. I think that when we look at, there may be many people who don't like me on here, but I think if we look at the Kardashians and them as a brand, I certainly don't agree with what they talk about, but the method and their techniques are truly astounding. So I think from a technical or technique perspective, you know, the Kardashian family is very, very good. Talk about omni-channel. They're in every channel, from GIFs to mobile games to Twitter feeds. And I think finally, I would look to kind of the military services in America. You know, Air Force, Navy, Marines, they have always been so forward thinking in the recruitment, I believe, you know, as a result of the type of work that that those great people do. And I think that they really push the boundaries with content. You know, when I look to see what and how employers should be talking in the near future, I look to the military services, and that's obviously I've talked about America, but typically, you know, whether it's the Secret Service here in Australia, where I'm calling in from, to Canada, to Singaporean Army, they all do some very, very cool and progressive stuff. So those would be my 3, Jorgen.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Even the Swedish Army, which is tiny in comparison, and the country's been neutral for 200 years, so it's probably won't be a very big army, but they are doing some really interesting things on social and forward thinking marketing activities. So yeah, great. Right, and my final question is, where can we learn more about yourself? Where can our listeners download this report? Where can they buy Iris, and where can they find Universum?
Yeah, sure. Well, you can find me on LinkedIn if you go to search for David Brudenell. Happy to connect and have a chat. If you want to learn a little bit more about Universum and Iris, you can go to universumglobal.com. And we have sections for small to medium enterprises as well as the enterprise. And you'll be able to find some bits and bobs about Iris there. And of course, this report that we've been talking about today will go out in the very near future. So, you know, if any of the audience or listeners today found it interesting, it's a free report that we're giving away. And as you probably saw, it's quite comprehensive. So I think it'll be a great little checklist document and strategy document to get started.
Yeah, and we'll put links into everything in the show notes. Great. David Brunel, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jorgen, for having me.
There we go. Analytics and data is changing the game in social media. One day, robots will do all the postings for us. And hey, why not let your personal robot do the reading too? I could do with a nice holiday. I don't know about you. Don't forget to download the report from David and Universum. It's titled Inside Social Media. And it's a very good read, nicely laid out, nice and visual, and not too salesy, I promise. And you'll find the link in the show notes, of course. Right, with that, the time has cometh for me to say many thank you for tuning in, and I will catch you next week. Ayurkin.
Thank you for listening to Social Media Know-How with your host, Jorgen Sundberg of Link Humans. For show notes and more, go to linkhumans.com/podcast and check out the hashtag SMKnowHow.
So, Jorgen, as you probably heard, I'm Canadian by birth. There was a couple of boots, I think, in our conversation today. So this is a Canadian joke. So on a really hot summer day, how do you get 100 Canadians out of the pool?
No idea.
You just ask them. So there you go. I didn't promise it would be funny, but it's certainly very Canadian.
Oh, because they're so polite.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, now I get it. okay, yeah.